It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Morneau with KRWG News. New Mexico Attorney General Hector Valdez is declining to join a tentative settlement agreement over the role OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma played in the nation's opioid addiction crisis. The Office of the Attorney General on Wednesday said the proposal was not nearly enough to pay for the harm that has been done to New Mexico families. The agreement, with about half the states and attorneys representing roughly 2,000 local governments, would have Purdue file for a structured bankruptcy and pay as much as $12 billion over time. About $3 billion would come from the Sackler family that controls Purdue. After several deaths, the Centers for Disease Control is urging people not to use e-cigarettes. As Fred Martino reports, state health officials are also raising alarm about the products.
Numerous people have been hospitalized for serious lung problems in New Mexico after using e-cigarettes, a habit known as vaping. There have been a growing number of illnesses across the country, and the New Mexico Department of Health's Mary Morgan says vaping is dangerous for those using e-cigarettes and anyone nearby.
Being exposed to the aerosol is not harmless, and it's not harmless water vapor. It's actually an aerosol with particulate matter in there. So the secondhand exposure to someone not actively vaping a device, it's harmful to them as well.
We'll have much more with Mary Morgan following a documentary entitled Vape tonight at 7 on television from KRWG Public Media. And to get help quitting, there's a toll-free number available, 1-800-QUIT-NOW. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Fred Martino.
Okay, let's move on now to a local viewpoint. Wednesday marked 18 years since the United States was attacked on September 11th. Commentator Walt Rubel shares his thoughts on the attack and says that this September 11th is a time to reevaluate.
I believe that the greatest moment of his presidency came when George W. Bush put his arm around the firefighter standing on the rubble of what was the World Trade Center and announced through a bullhorn that the people who knocked these buildings down will hear from all of us soon. It was something the nation needed to hear, even though we knew it wasn't true. The people who knocked those buildings down did so in a suicide mission. It's not like they made a clever getaway. As much as we desperately wanted to track them down, drag them through the streets, and bring them to justice, we knew that would never happen. And so, the best we could do was go after others who were tangentially involved. Not the Saudis, of course. Even though 15 of the 19 terrorists were Saudis, and there's evidence of support by the Saudi government, the Bush family ties to the Saudi royal family meant we'd have to look elsewhere. And not Osama bin Laden, who for some reason never seemed to be a priority for Bush. That left the Taliban. They didn't plan, fund, or execute the attack, but they provided safe harbor in Afghanistan for those who did, and that was enough for most Americans. My hope was that we would strike hard and fast, sending a clear message to the world that there would be a heavy price to pay for aiding terrorists, and then we'd return home. Instead, we tried to do what nobody has been able to do throughout the centuries, control Afghanistan and remake it in our image. We're still trying, but we don't appear to be any closer to achieving that goal, and the costs keep going up. I wrote a column early in the first term of the Obama administration saying my fear was that when we leave, the Taliban will regain control as soon as we're gone, all of our sacrifices will have been for naught, and it will be horrible for those left behind, especially the women. My greater fear was that will be true whether we leave today or 10 years from now. Well, here we are 10 years later. As we approach the 18th remembrance of that horrible day, I find myself in the awkward position of agreeing with President Donald Trump, at least with his instincts, which are to pull our troops out of Afghanistan. Unfortunately, his plan to accomplish that was to invite the Taliban to Camp David on the week of 9/11. What could go wrong? The meeting is now off. It was both announced and canceled in the same tweet. The reason for the cancellation, we're told, was a car bomb that took the life of a U.S. service member. But he was the fourth American killed in Afghanistan in the last 2 weeks, leading one to believe that it wasn't the death that upset President Trump as much as the Taliban's gloating about it on social media. The plan had been to draw down to 8,600 troops, with further withdrawals as the Taliban showed its commitment to preventing al-Qaeda terrorist camps. That's now been rejected, and I don't think there is a new plan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo went on the Sunday morning news shows and bragged about how many Taliban were killing. He made no mention of how many we have left to go. It's been the deadliest year in Afghanistan since 2014. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel.
Walt Rubel's columns appear at krwg.org in the local viewpoint section. Rubel's opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent the views of KRWG Public Media or NMSU.